Welcome to the 32nd episode of Egg Timer Philosophy, a podcast where philosophical ideas are scrambled up in about 5 minutes. Today's episode will continue the theme of free will from last week by exploring William James's essay, The Dilemma of Determinism. If you want to learn more about the major positions within the free will debate and have not heard the last episode yet, you might go back and give that one a listen as well. So a bit about William James before jumping into his essay about determinism. James was an American philosopher of the pragmatic tradition who wrote at the end of the 19th century, but he is probably even better known for his groundbreaking work in the field of psychology than his philosophical ideas. And you will definitely see his attention to psychology play a major role in his ideas about free will. He writes about free will in a few different places, but the focus for this Egg Timer will just cover ideas he discusses in that essay, The Dilemma of Determinism. You can find the full text of that essay with a quick Google search, and nicely, it only takes about an hour to read. James starts out the dilemma of determinism by suggesting that determinism and indeterminism are equally likely to be true, and he seems pretty skeptical that anyone is going to offer some great argument, metaphysical, logical, which is ever going to settle the debate between the two sides because they're both equally likely. So what to believe here, when both sides of this debate between the indeterminist and the determinist are both equally likely to be true? There, James says, when you have a choice between two positions or sides that are equally likely to be the case, people ought to go with the view that is more rational. Now, James never gives much attention to what he means by rational, but it's pretty clear that he thinks it goes beyond just picking the side of the best metaphysical or logically based argument, because that can't really help us in this debate. Instead, the rational is going to involve some other elements that we'll explore in just a moment. But first, a couple of definitions of determinism and indeterminism, and this is from James's essay directly. James says, defining determinism, that the future has no ambiguous possibilities hidden in its womb. The part we call the present is compatible with one totality. And defining indeterminism, James says, and again this is him directly, the parts have a certain amount of loose play on one another, so that the laying down of one of them does not necessarily determine what the other shall be. From those definitions, James then goes on to talk about the psychology of the person who endorses these views. For James, the determinist thinks that the universe would just be way too chaotic and almost break apart if the things in it were not determined or just a matter of chance. That person, the determinist, they deplore the notion of chance in the universe. The indeterminist says, nah, that's not right. A universe with some chance is not less rational or intelligible than a universe without it. A certain amount of loose play, to use James's expression, is just fine. Pretty early on in the essay, James gives an example of chance being involved in which street he takes home from a lecture, and seems to side squarely with the indeterminist stance here. It's still just as likely as a determinist view, and the idea of chance doesn't change this. But at the same time, James has no problem thinking that indeterminists can make every bit as the universe an intelligible thing as the determinist. At this point, James really starts to dig into the heart of the argument that he's trying to offer. He does this by recalling news he read of a very grisly murder. I think it's the Brockton murder. It's the one he references. And he uses that example as a way to introduce a major dilemma that he sees for the determinist. We hear about awful things that have happened, and this evokes, or sure ought to invoke, regret. We wish they didn't happen. But why would the determinist regret anything? Because everything must be the case. Actual regret requires us to imagine a world that is indeterministic or could be different. Otherwise, we have nothing to regret. James says that this leads to feelings of pessimism for the determinist. They, the determinist, lament that they experience regret in a world that they ultimately believe lack any alternative possibilities or chance. It creates a type of paradox for them, even though they cling to their position as more rational than that of the indeterminist. The way out for the determinist to resolve this dilemma is to remove regret from the equation, because remember, as a determinist, they really shouldn't have regret, even when they hear about awful things. If we can get rid of regret, then the dilemma for the determinist goes away with it. But in brilliant fashion, James shows why that solution to the dilemma ultimately fails. In a deterministic universe, regret, like everything else, only exists if it's determined to exist. So the very regret that the determinist faces, which caused the dilemma in the first place, cannot simply or easily be removed. The experience of regret that makes determinism psychologically and morally very uncomfortable or even unacceptable would itself be determined in a deterministic universe. This just puts the determinist back at square one and does nothing to solve the dilemma created by the regret people actually do feel when they encounter awful things. You shouldn't feel regret if you're a determinist, but you probably do, whether such feelings are determined or not. And this makes belief in determinism, for James, irrational in a certain type of way. Just to stress here again, James is not offering some metaphysical argument to make his point, and he clearly doesn't think any such argument will show that determinism or indeterminism is any more likely. Instead, he points to the psychological problem of holding steadfast to a deterministic view in the face of regret, and concludes that indeterminism is both more rational and more consistent to our moral sense than thinking that the deterministic alternative is the right position to embrace. James' arguments are strong, but it's worth noting that they only apply to people that experience regret and accordingly have a moral sense. People that get sickened when they hear about a grisly murder, for instance. If we imagine people who treat news of a grisly murder like they do about news of the sun setting in the west, those folks would lack the requisite regret for the dilemma of determinism to apply to them. For his part, James acknowledges this, but then just offers his own sense of lament on how terrible it would be for a person to lack this sense of regret and with it morality. If determinism is only rational as applied to the amoral person, James's basic reply here is just to say, well, so much the worse for determinism then. And given that just about all people do actually experience regret, James just isn't bothered greatly much by this limitation in application of his argument. The way in which James approaches the philosophical debate between determinism and indeterminism is both novel and, on some levels, fairly persuasive. We may never be able to offer strong metaphysical arguments to conclusively settle whether we live in a deterministic or an indeterministic world. But nevertheless, our own psychological experiences and moral sentiments tend to make the belief in an indeterministic world a strong rational option. Until next time on Egg Timer Philosophy, wishing you good philosophical vibes.